Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Happy Monday to you. Thanks for being here with us. This hour, we've got Ask a Priest. Next hour, we've got the church in the news, and Dr. Matthew Bunsen will be here for the second hour, and I am looking forward to just getting it from him what it was like to be in Rome for the election of our new Pope, Pope Leo XIV, and I listened to him make the call. I was listening to EWTN when the the Pope came out, and I just want to get the whole inside story of what it was like there in St. Peter's Square. And this hour, our very good friend, Father Paul Jerome Keller, is here. He is the Director of Divine Worship for the Diocese of Columbus, Ohio. Father Keller, thank you for being here with us.
Great to be with you again. Thank you for having me.
I should have said Dominican, too. I apologize for leaving that out. Yes. You are a Dominican priest.
Yes.
And I was hanging out with your boss today.
What?
Yeah, not Jesus either, and not St. Dominic. I mean, your more direct boss. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. The prior of the Father Stephen Dominic Hayes.
You know better than that.
We
had a great conversation with Bishop Fernandez from Columbus, Ohio, and he was out here in San Diego because the bishops meet a couple times a year, and he's out here with the U.S. Catholic bishops, and and he's just a great guy. It was wonderful to get to spend time with him.
I'm so happy for you. Is he listening tonight, do you think?
I don't think he even knew who we were, to tell you the truth. I'm just kidding. I think he knew who we were, but I don't think he's listening. No, because he's very busy over there. But is it weird? Like, he, just until a couple months ago, was the youngest bishop in the United States. Is that, like, do you have a hard time not condescending to him as he's older?
No, I have the greatest respect for him. I love him. Just in case he's listening.
He really is quite a cool guy. Very, very cool. And he explained to me why his family, of course, his mother and father are both from India. And he's the first Indian American bishop in the United States. But he explained to me why his name is Fernandez. I didn't know about that there were a lot of Spanish names in the Goa. I think he said it was in Goa, part of
Goa
of India.
Right, it was
because that's where the missionaries came from Spain. The Spanish Jesuits came there,
right?
Including more than one saint, I think. I think several saints passed through there.
Yes.
All right. Ask a priest means you've been saying to yourself, you know what? I wish I had a Catholic priest around. I could ask this question. And now you can ask that question. Mm-hmm. It could be a theological question, a moral question, a liturgical question, sacramental question, or maybe it's a pastoral question. Maybe it's something about your own spiritual life or sacraments in your life or whatever it is. If you've got a question that's appropriate for a Catholic priest, 888-318-7884. Father Paul Jerome Keller is a sacramental theologian. And as I said, the director of did I say it right? Director of Divine Worship for the Diocese of...
Yes, Director for the Office of Divine Worship, precisely. Precisamente, diciamo in italiano.
This is the second time I've had a priest speak Italian to me today, and I don't know why this...
It's because we all want to go to Rome and meet the new Pope.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He seems to be doing well, the Pope. I don't know. You kind of feel like... it would be kind of overwhelming, and he doesn't seem overwhelmed at all. He seems relaxed, peaceful, confident.
Yeah,
I like it.
I totally agree. Yes, every time I watch, from the beginning of watching him, it's almost like he just putting on slippers or something. He just walked right into the role, and he's doing well, I think.
And did you know him before? Had you? I mean, everyone makes a big deal about it. He's an American.
Oh, you mean Bob?
Oh, my pal Bob the Pope.
You mean Bob?
No, but it's so funny that we, you know, he's the first American pope, but you talk to people in the church here in the United States, and very few, because he was a bishop in Peru, of course. So right, very right. few. I heard right. Cardinal Dolan talking about it, and he said other cardinals were asking about him in Italy, and he said, I never met him. I don't know him.
Did you hear about that group of boys that wanted to meet him? They wanted to meet him, but they knew, was it their teacher, someone who had been a former Augustinian, who was in Augustinian formation, but left and never was made, never became a priest, was in continual contact with Cardinal, and then before that, Bishop Prevost. And so these boys found out about it and told him they were going to Rome and they wanted to meet the Pope. So this guy emailed on the private email of the Pope said to look for them. So they held up a sign and said, we know this. We, or no, somebody like Robert Mahoney says hi or something
oh,
like that.
Oh, how clever.
Well, it caught the Pope's eyes, that big sign. And he came over and signed a baseball for them with Leo, but put Leo the 14th on the baseball. That was really cool.
That's very cool. If you could get the name of that guy they held, that was on the signs, when I go to Rome, I'm going to make a sign like that. You just find out. I know you were making a
Paul
name
Keller
up.
Keller says
yeah.
hi.
Father Paul Keller,
Keller
yeah. says, hey, Bob. 888-318-7884, the number here, 888-318-7884. Do you know Pier Giorgio Frassati? Do you know? I mean, I know you don't know him personally, but...
he was a Third Order Dominican. He was, part of the Dominican family. He... I met his sister, his sister, when I studied in Rome a long time ago, but she was there for his beatification.
Yeah.
So there was some event with the Dominicans, and I got to meet her. But so that was a great, great blessing, yes.
Well, now
I know of him, certainly.
He's going to be canonized September 7th. Carlo Acutis will be canonized with him now.
Yes, that's great.
But what is Pier Giorgio known for? Why is he just a holy? Because he's not old. He's not one of these, Mother Teresa. Not that she was. Yeah, she was old. She was old. He died a young man.
He did, and he's known. Well, he was very pious. His father owned or was the publisher of the newspaper, was it La Repubblica? I can't remember. I think it may have been La Repubblica. But anyways, his father was definitely left-leaning politically. And so they didn't necessarily agree on everything. But Pier Giorgio himself was very devout Catholic, would help the poor. He joined the Third Order of Dominicans, which is the lay branch of the Dominicans, people who get together to pray and study and support each other in living the Catholic life. So he's very dear to the Dominicans as well. But yes, and he was great sports, great athlete. Many pictures of him skiing in the Alps and so forth. Just a very holy young man who died much before his time. But not only was he pious, but also assisted the poor in a great deal.
Well, that's maybe it would appear that's the way the Holy Spirit wanted it, was these two young men.
It's amazing. It really is amazing. Yeah. Yes, yes.
All right, let's get a phone call in here for our guest, Father Paul Jerome Keller. We're going to Louisiana. Prentice is in Gonzales, Louisiana, watching on YouTube. Prentice, welcome. You got a question for Father Keller?
Yes, I do. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
I was recently talking to one of my friends, and he was telling me a story about how his wife had seen an apparition and was communicating with this apparition. It was his past grandmother, and they were engaging in questions and everything, and they were telling them answers that only him and his brother knew. And I was under the impression that the saints could hear us and they could intercede for us and they see everything, but I wasn't too keen on the idea that they could come back down and visit us and communicate like that. And I was just wanting to know, what are the capabilities that the saints and the souls in purgatory have whenever it comes to being in communion with us?
Okay, thank you for the question, Prentice. My guard goes up when I started to hear what you were talking about, somebody communicating with and getting, receiving communications that presumably only the person asking the question could know and so forth. That is actually very dangerous. Is it possible for the saints to appear to people? Yes, it's possible. We do have a number of, we do know of canonized saints who themselves had apparitions of the saints, but it's rare. It's extremely rare. For example, Saint Dominic, the founder of my order, Saint Peter and Saint Paul appeared to him and spoke with him. So is it possible? Yes. But it's not the normal mode of God communicating or wanting us to communicate with the saints in heaven. It's not the norm. It's very extraordinary and has to be judged or discerned very carefully. So the church tends to disbelieve immediately when we start hearing about these kinds of stories because... Because, Prentice, even the angels that can disguise themselves, angels of darkness can disguise themselves as angels of light. So, and Satan loves to do that. He loves to deceive. This is why we are told not to be contacting the dead through mediums and these other kinds of places that people go to for palm reading or for horoscope readings. These are very, very dangerous avenues into the world beyond us whereby Satan can deceive us and lead us astray. So, and when it comes to the souls in purgatory, they, as far as I know, they do not appear to us. And it's very, very dangerous to be calling on someone who's dead. We can ask the saint, especially if they're not particularly if they're not canonized saints. We can ask the saints for help, and we can talk to them, such as Saint Anthony of Padua, I have now lost my car keys for the seventh time today. Can you please help me find them? And so we can make a prayer to any of the saints, but we should not be expecting them to speak to us, because I think that we can be deceived in that. Does that help you to understand? Does that make sense to you, Prentice?
Yeah, that does make sense. And if it's okay with y'all, can I expand with like a slight follow-up thing? I saw a clip recently online, and it was about the exorcist files and how these priests were conducting an exorcist, and then they said that the person being exorcised became possessed by a soul in purgatory and basically explained to them that it was that person that put up, and then they used that knowledge to then free that woman. So it was, it's just weird.
It is. And that's, sounds very strange to me. And a lot, you know, I do want to warn people too. A lot of the shows that we're seeing these days about exorcism, they have a lot of, there's a lot of misinformation, I'll put it that way, involved in those, in the writing of those shows. And look, they're meant to attract people so that they'll go watch the movie and pay money for it, right? It's a money-making scheme. And so not everything you see in those movies is real. So be very, very careful about that as well.
That we have a flood of exorcist celebrities these days. And
yes.
We got to be careful with that. Let's just put it that way. You got to be careful with all these celebrity exorcists that are out there. Prentice, I'll tell you what, we have a book called The Saints Pray for You by our colleague, Dr. Carla Broussard. And it's about, well, the saints praying for you. So if you would like a copy of that, hang on. We'll send it to you. In the meantime, we got to take a very quick break. Right back with more Father Paul Jerome Keller, from Columbus, Ohio, on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Are you looking to study Catholic theology in a formal way with the guidance of faithful scholars? Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by the Augustine Institute, offering master's degrees in theology, pastoral theology, and Catholic education with flexible study options on campus, online, or both. The Augustine Institute equips students to serve Christ and His church in schools, parishes, dioceses, apostolates, and the home. Learn more today at augustine.edu.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily Mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at Magnificat.com.
This is Father Ken Briganti. Catholic radio reaches a vast audience of people. It's an excellent tool of evangelization in the 21st century. So radio is the best way for us to get to know the Lord, and then we can love Him and serve Him and prepare ourselves in this life to be with Him for all eternity.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. The number is 888-318-7884. If you have a theological or pastoral question that you would like to ask a Catholic priest, Father Paul Jerome Keller is here with us. He is a Dominican priest living now in the Diocese of Columbus, Ohio, and he would love to take your question. 888-318-7884. Father does speak to non-Catholics as well. So if you're not a Catholic and you've got a question you'd like to ask a Catholic priest, 888-318-7884. As the director of Divine
Office
Worship.
Office of Divine Worship.
Yeah. I take it that you sometimes plan liturgies, and your bishop was out here, as I told you before, out here today, and he told us you planned a beautiful Pentecost liturgy, which
it was the Pentecost Vigil. Yes.
The Pentecost Vigil. And it really did sound beautiful. I thought it sounded very Pentecost, because the Mass, I think, was in Latin, but the readings, and there were, like he said, five or six, were in the various different languages spoken in the diocese.
Exactly. I counted a total of 13 languages used in that Mass.
Wow.
From start to finish. So there are five readings. It's sort of like the Easter Vigil, which has seven Old Testament readings. There are four Old Testament readings at the Pentecost Vigil, and a fifth reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, and then the Gospel. But the Mass itself, as you said, was in Latin. But all the readings were in a different language. And then for the universal prayer for the intercessions, there were five of those, each in a different language. So we pretty much covered the gamut of what we have in Columbus.
That's
which,
beautiful.
As the bishop pointed out, it used to be just, I shouldn't say just, but it used to be predominantly German-Irish, but now it's flooded with people from all over the world,
yeah.
Which we would never have expected. But it was a really beautiful Mass.
That is beautiful. You know what struck me at Pentecost, that when they were reading the readings this year, and I'm sure I learned this many times, but sometimes, you know, it just strikes you. And I was like, oh, this is the repair of the Tower of Babel. This is the we have the sin leads to division, and the incoming of the Holy Spirit leads to a return of unity and understanding.
You know, exactly. So I don't know why, but today I was rereading the readings from the Pentecost Vigil. It's already a week and a half ago. But I thought, as I was looking at them and comparing all the readings together, it starts with, as you pointed out, the Tower of Babel from the Book of Genesis, which entails people trying to do their own thing, build their own culture, and rise up to heaven, and kind of control God, if you will. And God destroys their tower, and part of the punishment is that they all speak these different languages. But the rest of the readings show exactly what God is about. So it's like, look, you can't reach me on human power. It doesn't work. But I have been wanting to reach you, and I will send my spirit. I am going to have my way because I want you, but not in the way that you want to be to be had. So it's really beautiful when you think about it that way.
Jimmy is in Omaha, Nebraska, listening, of course, on Spirit Catholic Radio. Jimmy, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Father Paul Jerome Keller.
Good afternoon. Yes, Father Keller. Well, just a little background. My parents are legally married. My mom is a church-going Catholic. My dad is a baptized Catholic who no longer goes to church. My dad has expressed interest in getting married in the church, and my mom is hesitant to do that. So how do I, encourage her into getting married, you know, in the church, having the sacrament of matrimony? Obviously, the first step is talk to a priest at our parish, but how do I kind of encourage her to even go to that step?
Well, great, Jimmy. Thank you for that question. It's a kind of a major pastoral question that you're asking. I think one of the first things you could say to your mother is, look, Mom, you can, you're a practicing Catholic, but you can actually start going to communion once you're married in the church. Now, I'm presuming that they did not have permission to marry outside the church. So maybe I should ask that of you first, Jimmy. Did they have permission to marry legally but outside the church?
It's a lawful marriage by the, you know, under the law of the state, but the church didn't give permission to not be married by the church.
Okay. So your mom is not able to go to Holy Communion because the marriage is not recognized by the church, by the way that God has set up the sacrament of matrimony to work through the church. So that would be a starting point, a conversation to have with her about Holy Communion and its importance, and that the fact of going to Holy Communion means that we abide or we believe everything that the church teaches, and that we do what we live the life of a Catholic. That's what it means to eat at that banquet table. And if we're not in communion with what God teaches us through the church, then we really are not ready to come to that banquet table. It would sort of be like going to Thanksgiving dinner with when you're on the outs with your family, sitting down and pretending that everything's just fine when in fact it's not. So that's a starting point. That's one part of the conversation that I would encourage you to have with your mom and maybe with your mom and dad together, for that matter, since you said your dad is showing signs of interest in returning to the church, become active. But there are many things you can do to encourage him, both of them, from books, Catholic Answers. I have a feeling that Cy might be offering something at the end of our conversation. But go ahead, Cy.
No, I think we'll. It seems like Why We're Catholic would be the book to send. But if unless there's something else that you wanted, Jimmy, I'd be happy to send you Why We're Catholic.
No, I think that would be a great gift to give, to pass on to my mother for sure.
Great.
She's not entirely well catechized, so I think that would help her out to get that ball rolling. So.
Wonderful.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, and of course, you know, prayer is essential. I'm sure you're doing that already. Continue to pray for them, to ask. You know, I have to tell you something, Jimmy. Already, just the fact of your calling in is a sign that the Holy Spirit's working between your mom and dad already. So the fact that your dad is showing interest, that's a work of the Holy Spirit, that your mom is struggling, right, with some of the teachings, perhaps, of the church. That's okay. It's a sign that God is at work there. And so continue to pray for the light of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, you might think of some saints who themselves struggled in their own matrimonial issues. Kind of the opposite of your mom and dad is St. Monica and her husband, the mother of St. Augustine. her husband was not Catholic at all, and but she was a very devout Catholic and prayed her son and her husband back into the fold. But there are many others.
Okay, Jimmy.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. That was I might consider that a signal grace, because I got goosebumps when you said that was the Holy Spirit. I certainly agree. So, very fruitful call. Thank you.
Oh, that's fantastic. Hang on. We'll make it more fruitful. We'll send you a copy of Why We're Catholic from our colleague, Trent Horn. Our guest is Father Paul Jerome Keller. Our topic, what do you want to talk about? It's Ask a Priest. If you've got a question you'd like to ask, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. We want to invite you to join us September 25th through 28th as we welcome some of the nation's most brilliant, eloquent, and engaging Catholic speakers right here in sunny San Diego. The theme for our annual conference this year is Go and Make Disciples, and we're going to have people there who help us do that. Dr. David Anders, the great Dr. David Anders from EWTN's Called to Communion, Steve Dawson from St. Paul Street Evangelization, and our keynote speaker, Chris Stefanik. Check it out at CatholicAnswersConference.com. Right back with more Father Keller on Catholic Answers Live. Each Catholic is obliged to spread and defend the faith by word and deed. Well, we're here to help. Join special guests Chris Stefanik, Dr. David Anders, Father Jeff Kirby, and all your favorite Catholic Answers apologists this September 25th through 28th in beautiful San Diego for the Catholic Answers Conference. Our theme, Go Make Disciples. Enjoy 4 days of faith, fun, and fellowship. Use promo code EARLY to save $50 when you register today at CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Lots of people have big questions about Catholicism. It needs a big book of answers, and now it's got one. The Big Book of Catholic Answers is filled with helpful replies to more than 250 questions about the faith. Questions about God, salvation history, the Creed, the Bible, the list goes on and on. Order your copy of the Big Book of Catholic Answers today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world. But it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun. And that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, morals, the teachings of the church, all that. But he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs. But you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Thanks for being here with us on this Monday afternoon. At least it's Monday afternoon for us here in Southern California. Maybe it's Monday evening or even Tuesday morning where you are. Father Paul Jerome Keller is our guest. And let me look how many lines are open. Two lines open. So if you want to ask a question of a Catholic priest, this is your opportunity. Anybody welcome. 888-318-7884. Charles is down in San Antonio, Texas, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Charles, glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Father.
Hi, thank you so much. I just had some questions regarding adoration. I'm a new Catholic, just came to the church this year.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you so much. But just questions about what to keep in mind, how specifically to genuflect, because I know it should be a little more reverent than a regular genuflect when entering the pew. But just what else to keep in mind when going to adoration.
Okay. Thanks, Charles. I echo the congratulations that Cy gave you for just coming into the church at Easter. I want to say, there's so much to say. I could spend the next hour or so just talking about this, Charles. But you've hit on a real powerhouse of prayer, and that is praying in adoration before the exposed Blessed Sacrament in church. And since it is Jesus Christ, body and blood, soul and divinity, the real presence of Jesus, we have this opportunity to kneel, but also, I mean, you don't have to always be kneeling. You can sit down as well, but to adore the Lord and to spend time in quiet listening to him. Some people will take some spiritual reading as a way to kind of help them to enter more deeply into prayer. Others will just spend quiet time with the Lord, listening, praising and worshiping him for all his goodness, for the act of salvation that he's worked for us through his own death and resurrection, praising him for all the graces, emptying ourselves before him. Those are all parts of the prayer of adoration because he really is present. Another thing I'd like to tell people to keep in mind is we're looking at the host in the lunette, in the monstrance. So the monstrance is that beautiful gold vessel in which the host is placed. We're looking at it, but more importantly, Christ is looking at us as we kneel before him, as we sit before him. He's looking at us with love, with great eyes of great love. So those are some of the things to do in terms of prayer. In terms of movement, as you asked, people, yes, we genuflect when we come in. There's an older tradition of genuflecting on both knees both incoming when coming into the presence of the exposed Blessed Sacrament and when leaving the presence of the exposed Blessed Sacrament. That's an old tradition, and many people still keep it. It's not wrong if someone were to only genuflect on one knee, however. In fact, liturgically, when it comes to the priest, the instruction is for the priest to genuflect on one knee when he's exposing the Blessed Sacrament or reposing the Blessed Sacrament and so forth and so on. However, the older tradition of genuflecting with both knees before you go into your seat into the pew is perfectly, perfectly fine. I like to tell people to be really devout, to be quiet. Unfortunately, I've been in adoration chapels where people are wearing earbuds or something, you know, they're listening to something, and very often, because it's so quiet, can actually hear through the headphones what someone else is kind of listening to, and that can be kind of distracting. Sometimes people like to pray the rosary and they whisper it, but that too is distracting. I think we should be very, very silent to honor other people who are there to worship God and to listen to him. It can be so distracting when there are other noises or sounds. But those are some of the basic things, Charles, that I could tell you. I encourage you to get a hold of your pastor, your priest, or other people that you see regularly at adoration and speak to them about this as well. Do you have other questions?
No, that is all. Thank you so much for your time.
Charles, thank you.
Absolutely, Charles.
Thanks very, very much. Off we go to Long Island, New York. Gil, listening on the Ave Maria radio. I would guess the app. Gil, welcome back. You got a question for Father Keller?
Yeah, he sounds very nice. He's very kind. I don't know if I remember hearing him before.
Yeah, I don't. You might be exaggerating a little bit, Gil. He's okay. He's all right.
Oh, you both are kind. You make me feel so good.
Oh, well,
thank you.
I'm glad you're here, Gil. Go ahead
yeah,
and ask your question.
Your smile is beautiful. Amen. I have two questions. In light of Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And I want to know how a person can have assurance that their prayers are being answered and also assurance of salvation, because right now I'm going through a kind of a trial. I'm living in a nursing home now. And for a long time, I've been here for like 2 years, I had access to the lounge. I kept all my Braille books in there. And now they started painting, And then they finished painting. Now they're telling me I can't put the stuff back in the library, which is the lounge. And I'm worried because I don't know where they're putting my books now. And I'm wondering, you know, how could I pray about this, believing that God will work through it? Because it's very stressful because I need my Bibles. I don't know, you know, Si, that the Bible is a lot of books in Braille. It's not just one.
Oh, it's, yeah. Because because the pages are thicker?
You've seen it.
So you got to...
Yeah, have you seen it?
No, I've never seen a Braille Bible. Not that I recall.
Man.
I may have, but not that I recall.
Well, the Book of Matthew is one big book.
So you're feeling dejected about this.
Yeah, Gil. Because they were telling me we're going to have it ready in a month, we're going to have it ready in a week, and now they're telling me something new. Now they're telling me I can't keep it in the library. When I talked to the social worker, she was saying to me, there's really nothing I can do about it, you know.
So you don't have access to the Bible to read now?
Yourself. I have some of it in my room, thank God.
Okay.
Yeah, I have some of it, but Father, most of it, like the Old Testament.
What do you say to someone feeling dejected, needing assurance?
Right. Well, Gail, first of all, thanks for calling. And I do hope that they will be able to place all the books that you, especially the Bible, the various books of the Bible, in your room. I don't know how much room you may or may not have, but that would be a first step, is to try to get them all in your room. You know, I want to say something. You mentioned Romans 8:28, Gil, and that all things work to the good. That is absolutely true, right? That is so true. It's one of the tenets of our faith in a certain sense, right? That God is always taking care of us, especially in the times that we don't feel it. Why do I say especially in those times? Because it's easy to trust in God when everything's looking great, right? It's easy to say, yeah, God's in control. He's taking care of me. Everything's wonderful, and so forth and so on. It's when the trials come forth that we can begin to doubt, right? Where is God in this? And a lot of people are probably asking that with regard to the wars that are going on all over the world, all of the upheaval in our own country, in certain cities, the rioting and so forth. Where is God? But for us who are believers, we have the assurance that everything works to the good, including and maybe especially the things that seem contrary to goodness. So what do I mean by that? We look, first of all, to the worst thing that ever happened in the history of the world, and that is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the attempt to kill God. That's the worst thing that ever happened. And what came out of that? The resurrection, our Lord rising from the dead. So that's the first sign of assurance that we have from God that our trials will also redound to our good, that God will always bring good out, even out of the worst evils. And we see stories of this in the scriptures over and over and over again, throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, the overturning of evil events into good things. So I suggest you meditate on, look at some of those stories. Look, the first one that's really coming to mind right now, I could list dozens of them, but for some reason the story of Joseph is coming to mind right now. In the Old Testament, Joseph was going to be killed by his brothers. One of his brothers said, no, let's not kill him, let's send him into sell him into slavery. But Joseph being sold into slavery was actually the salvation of his brothers in the midst of a great famine, because the Lord raised Joseph to a high place. Same thing happens in our trials, no matter what they are, whether they're health issues, whether they're relational issues, whether they're even suggestions of doubt from the devil, or just a coldness of heart that we sometimes experience in prayer. All of these crosses, these trials, God brings great good out of them. How do we have the assurance of salvation? Because no one wants anything more than God wants you to be in heaven with him. That is absolutely true. That's, you can take that to the bank. No one wants your salvation more than he does. So if you know how much you want to be saved, God wants it infinitely more. Those are just a few little things that I offer you, Gil.
Okay, Gil.
Sorry, you were going to say.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I do have the keyboard, at least now it's in the cafeteria. It used to be in the library where I kept my Braille books, so at least that's something that's okay, that's pretty good. But I miss having all the stuff in the same room. Playing the keyboard and reading the Bible to people is important to me.
Yeah.
To have both, but at least I got one.
Sure.
Well, God bless you, Gil. Thank you for the call. I'm sorry about that. The loss of your books. I do hope it's a temporary loss, and I hope that you find Father's words encouraging. I have to take the break. We'll be right back with more Ask a Priest on Catholic Answers Live with Father Paul Jerome Keller.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
I just want to share that 5 years ago, my lovely warrior princess and saint of a wife and I decided to adopt a little girl through foster care. She is the perfect roundout of our family of three boys and her. Yes, there are challenges. Very grateful today for all the blessings that he has shown our family.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend? A coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Starting to feel like summertime. It's not summertime yet, though, right? When does summertime start? June 21st?
Starts Friday. Friday? June 20th.
Friday, summer starts. So get your short pants out. And it's almost time for short pants. Are we allowed to, Darren, are we allowed to wear short pants to work, or we have to wear long pants to work? It doesn't matter. I'm only on the screen from here up. What does it matter? I could just wear board shorts. And this. And all right. Nope. Apparently, I have to wear pants to work. Well, it's a tough place I work in, but apparently, I have to wear the pants. The number is 888-318-7884. You have no sympathy for
put
me,
your
Father.
Big boy pants on. Now.
I guess that's what they want. They want me to have the big boy pants on. Yes. Andre is in Lecanto, Florida, watching on YouTube. Andre, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Father.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Very well. Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
So I have a question for you, Father. I'm in high school right now, and I'm making a college essay about the differences between Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy. And, you know, of course, the first thing that should come to mind will be about the Filioque in the Nicene Creed, that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. And I still really haven't understood, like, what that really means. With what I know what precede means, precede is like coming afterwards. Does that mean the Holy Spirit comes after the Father and the Son? That's just, I don't really know. And I, you know, want some things to help clarify that.
Sure. I'll try a little bit. Yeah, Andre, thank you for the question. You know, yesterday we just celebrated Trinity Sunday, the greatest of mysteries, the most essential of the mysteries of our faith, right, is the most basic tenet of Catholicism, of Christianity, that God is one, but that there are three persons in one God. So before, so that I don't forget, one place of, since you're writing a paper, I would suggest you look online at newadvent.com. They have a Catholic encyclopedia. There, then you can look up the Nicene Creed, you can look up Holy Spirit, you can look up Filioque. For the rest of our listeners, Filioque is a Latin word that means "and the Son." So in the Creed, we pray that the Holy Spirit comes from the Father and the Son and is glorified with the Father and the Son. And what Andre, for the rest of our listeners, is referring to in terms of the Orthodox, in my estimation, we believe the same thing. That is to say, the Holy Spirit comes from the Father whether we say the comes from the Father through the Son, or the Holy Spirit comes from the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit comes. You know, it's like, but Andre, the one thing I would caution you against is there's no time here, right? So God is eternal. There is no beginning, there's no end, but everything in God is simultaneous. So it was not that there was God the Father and then sometime later God the Son, who proceeded from the Father, but this the Son was always proceeding from the Father in terms of the mind of the Father knowing himself. And the Holy Spirit was always proceeding from the Father and the Son in terms of the love they have for each other. There was never any time lapse in the Blessed Trinity. So I want to say that first of all. And secondly, I'd also point you to number 689 in the Catechism, the Catholic Catechism of the Church, that the, there is a joint mission of the Son and the Holy Spirit. You know, yesterday, if you paid attention, and you can go back and look this up if you have a prayer book somewhere, the Collect or the opening prayer of the Mass talks about the Word of Truth and the Spirit of Love that come from the Father. So both proceed from the Father. I think what happens between the East and the West churches is that we're getting hung up on how the Holy Spirit comes. It's a great mystery to begin with. So to fight over this seems to me to be one of the more stupid things that has happened in Christianity between the East and the West. We need both, right? It is the Father sends the Logos, the Word, his Son into our midst, but not without the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit helps us to know and understand the Word that the Son is. And that is not true just in the New Testament. It's also true in the Old, because the Word of God was always already speaking through in the Old Testament. So there's a lot to unpack there. Of course, it's the greatest of mysteries, and so we'll never be able to plumb its depth. But I hope, does that help in a little bit, Andre?
No, that helped a lot. Thank you so much. It's just the main thing for me is that, you know, it seems like it's like a really big deal between the East and the Western churches. However, I agree with you with saying that I feel like they're making it more of a big deal than it needs to be, and I'm thankful that you're able to clear that up.
Sure, and Andre, do look in the Catholic Encyclopedia. It's very excellent on it. Has a number of articles on these issues and can direct you elsewhere as well.
Andre, I didn't realize the question had to do with a paper, but we have a book called Answering Orthodoxy, which is kind of Catholic. No, it's not kind of. It is. It's Catholic answers. It's the Catholic side, I suppose, of the Catholic Orthodox controversies. So if you would like that book, just hang on. And we're going to get you into this college, man. We're going to help you get this essay done, and we will get you into college, Andre.
That he can become a Dominican later on.
That's right. We'll make that the deal. We'll get you into college. You become a Dominican, Andre. Just hang on, and I want to send you the book, Answering Orthodoxy. I got to just move on, Andre. Let's go to AJ in Syracuse, Indiana. I did not know there was a Syracuse in Indiana. Listening to EWTN on channel 130, Sirius XM satellite radio. Hi, AJ.
Hey there. How are you?
Really good. Thank you.
Thanks, Father. I appreciate your yes to your vocation. I call about my son, who is 25 and who has been thinking about the priesthood ever since at least third grade, when one of our parish priests asked the class if anyone was thinking about a vocation, religious vocation, priesthood or others, and they said he raised his hand, so he took off his collar and gave it to him. But he has said, Dad, I just don't think I'm pious enough or worthy enough. And I said, Eddie, if that was the test, no one would become a priest. But I did have to call him after this recent conclave and said, Eddie, I always told you you're going to be the first American-born pope. but maybe the first Hoosier-born pope. So, Father, what advice can I give him as he discerns that path, obviously with the Holy Spirit and our good Lord guiding him, because it's really their conversation and their call.
That's right. That's right. Thanks for the question, AJ. And first of all, what can you do to support and encourage him? Pray for him. I'm sure you're doing that. But continue to intercede for him. Secondly, I wouldn't pester him about it. I wouldn't put any pressure on him whatsoever. Let him walk through this. If he has questions about it, I'm sure he'll come to you, such as the one that he did come to you with, which is, I don't feel pious enough, or I don't feel worthy. And you can tell him that we said, and I'll say as a priest, and every single priest will say the exact same thing, is none of us are worthy. I'm not worthy to be a priest. Pope Leo is not worthy to be a priest. He would say that. No one is. None of us are worthy. And so you can just put that to rest right now. Forget about worthiness. St. Peter wasn't worthy. The apostles weren't worthy. The Lord changes us and makes us worthy. That's what it's all about. It's what God is doing, not what we are doing for God. It's never that. It's always what God is doing through us. Finally, I would suggest that he get a really good spiritual director, someone he can really open up to, a priest that he can open up to confess to regularly through the sacrament of penance, and share with that priest what his issues are. But I can guarantee you that he needs to stop thinking about himself as unworthy or not pious enough or not good enough. That's all hogwash, and could even be a distraction from the devil to prevent him from continuing on the road to priesthood.
I would guess, AJ, thank you very much. I hope that was helpful to you. I would guess that if a guy came into the seminary saying, "I am worthy to be a priest," that might be more of a problem.
Oh, a huge problem. He's the first one you want to take and get him out of there as soon as possible.
AJ, thank you very much. I'm just going quick to try to get more calls on before we have to go with Father Paul Jerome Keller. Robert is in Carlsbad, California, also listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Robert, I hate to do this to you, but you're going to have to be kind of quick with your question if we want to get you an answer from Father.
Yes, thank you, Father Jerome, and thanks for the show. Catholic guilt. So, I converted to Catholicism 50 years ago, but I continue to hear this term both from Catholics and Protestants mainly, that they can't be Catholic because of the guilt. I have no idea what that means. I've never experienced it. And if that does exist, how do you reconcile that with other people?
Great question, Robert. Thank you. There is no such thing as Catholic guilt. It's a made-up term as a kind of put-down of Catholic, the sacrament of penance, the fact that we confess our sins. It's a put down, the fact that we ask God to reveal our sins to us so that we can repent of them and be closer to him, say that we're sorry, and so forth. But Catholic guilt is a made-up term that is a kind of pejorative reference to Catholics who actually are trying to practice their faith. So the fact that you don't experience it, praise God, because what we should experience is a healthy remorse for our sins, and we should go to confession and deal with them there.
Robert, thank you very much for the call. I wonder what if it's just that people don't like I feel like Jesus does have high standards for us. I do feel like maybe people just don't like that. I don't want to hear about the high standards he's got for me. Like, you know, when he tells us don't divorce or don't be angry in your heart, or like really direct stuff that people are like, I'm not sure I really want all the guilt that comes from hearing about that.
I think you're absolutely right, Si, that the guilt is they don't want to have to face the reality of their fallenness. And so, I just call that Catholic guilt and be done with it. Well, I don't know. I think if you don't feel guilty about doing anything wrong, including in our human relationships, something's wrong.
Yeah.
What is that? Just, you know, what do you call that? Relational guilt? I don't know. It's crazy. I don't believe in it. We love God. God loves us. And if we fail him, which we do repeatedly, we should go to confession.
Father, may we have your blessing before we go?
With great Yes, absolutely. Through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and of all the angels and saints, may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father Paul Jerome Keller has been our guest. Father, look forward to seeing you again before too long.
Likewise.
Yep. Thank you.
Take care, son.
Thanks very, very much. Coming up, Dr. Matthew Bunsen will be here. Church in the News. You got questions about the Church in the News? 888-31-TRUTH.